What better way to kick off your weekend mood than listening to Moncrief's Movies and Booze panel having the chats about the latest movie releases and having a slurp of some fine wine or beer? Time now for Movies and Booze. I'm pleased to say that Esther McCarthy and Dean McGuinness join us once again. Good afternoon to you both.
Hello.
Hello.
Are you interested in the Illuminati, Dean?
I am.
Has your mind ever been controlled, as far as you know?
Well, that's the thing. Maybe it is being controlled and I'm not aware of it, which would be... It's not paranoia if they really are out to get you.
It's true, but you can't know. He says, I mean, the fellow we were talking to said that subconsciously they're controlling people, but he's been studying all these symbols, but he wasn't able to convince me whether he's being subconsciously controlled or not.
It's a good point. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's a terrifying world we live in. Esther, how are you?
And yourself.
Okay. If you were going to go to a place called Skull Island,
yeah,
you'd kind of expect there to be something wrong with it.
It's
really,
not
would
off,
you think? Yeah.
It's not off the coast of West Cork either. It's not that one. The original home of King Kong, of course, before he was brought to New York and captured and brought to New York and all hell went loose in that classic film. So they're kind of going back to basics here. This is kind of fun, I have to say. I enjoyed
this. Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah.
All right. It did pose the question, why? Why would you bother?
I know. The cast don't always bring it and stuff, but John C. Reilly seems to realise he's in a monster movie and he should go full B-movie on it.
Yeah.
And he's just this crazy kind of ex-military character who's been trapped in the island since World War II, and it's now the 1970s and these other humans arrive and he's kind of overjoyed but also a little bit mad.
And
he's great and he really elevates the whole film and kind of just helps it get into that spirit of humour, you know.
Yeah.
I did really enjoy this.
Okay.
And the giant gorilla is great as well. Really proper scary and some good money shots.
Right, okay, because you do need a good giant gorilla if it's going to be a
proper...
I went
home from a screening of this and I was saying, it's grand, like, it's not amazing. And the hubby said, look, is there a giant gorilla in it? And I said, yes. And he said, does he beat himself in the chest and growl a lot? And I said, yes. And he said, that's it, I'm sold. I want to come see that.
Yeah, he's right too.
Yeah.
He's absolutely right too. And In Loco Parentis...
This is...
Sounds all serious.
Very special. This is really good. It's a documentary. It's an Irish documentary directed by Nasani Quinnon. And it brings us inside the walls of an Irish boarding school. The only Irish boarding school left in for primary school age children in Headfort in County Meath.
Wow.
And it's kind of not what I expected at all. It's a little bit Mallory Towers, lots of being a blighting going on with the little rambling passageways and the old buildings and stuff, and a little bit of Hogwarts, and a little bit, to my delight, School of Rock, because when they're finished teaching the kids maths and English literature and stuff like that, they have them doing up to all sorts of kind of developmental hijinks to kind of fully form them as people before they're... A lot of the kids who go to these schools are being prepped for, like, major private schools like Eton and places like that.
Oh, really?
So okay. They're kind of encouraging that their personalities be brought out, and there is a whole big scene revolving around band practice, which I really enjoyed. It's a lovely film. It's a kind of an observational film and a very non-judgmental film, but it's really just interesting to see what it's like within the walls of the school and what goes on there.
I didn't even know such a place still existed.
No, neither did
I.
Yeah.
The hashtag today is Minging Movies. As in, or Mingin Movies, whichever way you like to do it yourself, but it's spelled M-I-N-G-I-N-G Movies for the hashtag. It's already the second highest trend in Ireland and we haven't even started yet. Dean, I understand the beers you're bringing in today are lethal.
We've gone a step above. Yeah, I'm having a rant about alcohol because I think that sometimes people think that alcohol is a dirty word. And we've got a few things in Ireland that we need to worry about, but it isn't the strength of the beers that we need to worry about. It's more probably our culture and approach to beer. So we've got two beers. One is 10.2% ABV. It is Widmer Brothers Old Embalmer. It's an English barley wine, and that's the lower strength of the two of them. The other one is an 11.5% ABV Quadrium Ale from Belgium, and it's called Earthel Samaranth.
Okay, now the first one, the 10.2, is a what?
It's an English barley wine.
Yeah,
so
does that mean it's not a beer then?
Well, no, it's the wine part of it is a way that they would have used to describe the fact that it was at a strength which would be comparable to wine.
Yeah.
But the barley part of it is saying that it's a beer, that it's an alcoholic drink that's been made with malted barley.
So right, okay.
It is a barley that just happens to have the strength. It would be similar to an Imperial Russian Stout with the word Imperial communicating that it was higher strength to be transported across Siberia to the Imperial Russian court. The word would be used as well.
Okay, well, we'll start with that in just a second. Texter says, another Kong movie. Hollywood is just producing remake after remake after remake. Sick to the back teeth of them. Bring on the original movies. Do they have a point?
I'm not sure. They're not all. They're not all remakes. Some of them are sequels.
Or prequels.
Or
indeed.
Prequels. Or some of them are live action adaptations of animated films. So yeah, no, there's a lot of that going on.
Yeah.
But what bothers me is not the amount of them, but the fact that they seem to run year round now. Like even as recently as kind of the new wave of Marvel movies, like they traditionally, I think the first Iron Man opened like at the beginning of April. And
sorry, listener, something funny was going on there, kind of in the background. By the way, several people have texted in to say that because you did say when you went home to Owen, to the hubby, and he said, does it have giant gorilla money shots? They all Googled giant gorilla money shots. You don't get pictures of King Kong if you Google those words.
Excellent.
Just to warn people. certainly don't do it with the kids in the room.
I look forward to checking that out myself later.
Yeah, right. Okay, let's move on. Let's move on to our barley wine, which is really a beer.
So what you've got to say. Now, barley wine is a style of beer. Alcohol by volume of between 8 and 12%. So this one is pretty much smack in the middle. And if you're looking at barley wines, they'll usually be described as either an English barley wine or an American barley wine.
Okay.
Now, just to cause total confusion on this one is an English barley wine brewed in America.
Okay.
So what you've got, when they're using English or American, it's a reference to where the hops originally came from. So if there were hops that are typically grown in England, then those types of hops will give a character that's associated with English ales, and then it's an English barley wine. If it's hops that are grown in America, you'll get the character of the American hops, so it's an American barley wine. But beer styles can be brewed in almost all cases. There are very few beer styles that have to be brewed in a very specific location. Most beer styles can be brewed in lots of different places. Now, just to talk about this beer, first of all, and then to talk a little bit about alcohol and so on in beer. With this one, it's 10.2%, so there's no mistaking the alcohol in it. It's quite warming as you drink it. We're serving it in a snifter glass, so I'll come back to that in a minute.
Okay, so it's it's like the same, it's like a brandy glass.
A brandy glass, yeah. And I'll come back to that in a minute because we've got an interesting thing about our culture in Ireland in terms of how we approach beer. But the types of flavours that you'll get in it, caramel, burnt sugar.
Yeah, it is. It's quite sweet, actually.
Yep. Yeah. Now, the bitterness in this beer, and where I talk about bitterness units, that's fine for people who are geeky about beer. But the easiest way to think about it is to compare it to other beers. If you take it, the Budweiser has 8 to 10 bitterness units. Budweiser doesn't have a huge amount of bitterness in it. Heineken, somewhere around kind of 20 bitterness units. So Heineken would be about twice the bitterness of Budweiser. This is 75 bitterness units. So it's four times the bitterness of Heineken.
But it doesn't taste.
You cannot get it at all.
No.
And the reason for that is the sweetness balances out the bitterness. Now, in order to achieve the alcohol, what they have to do is they have to put in a huge amount of malt relative to the amount of water that's being used in the recipe.
Mm.
The starch in the malt gets converted to sugar. The sugar gets converted to alcohol. But then they need even more malt to provide residual sugar, which is giving that sweetness. And then they use buckets of hops to balance out the sweetness so that it doesn't become cloying, so it's very well balanced, earthy, minerally undertones.
How do they rate the bitterness units then?
What they do is when they're adding hops, there's a substance in hops called alpha acids, and those alpha acids are converted into a compound which is an isomerized alpha acid, and then it's the concentration of the isomerized alpha acids. That's the technical
Okay, so it's not just some people just taste it and give it a random score.
It's very specific. It's a very specific thing. Now, with this beer is a 2013 beer.
And
that is literally, it has been brewed in 2013. The 75 bitterness units have likely come down a bit. It probably would be around 50 to 60 now at the moment. But it's a beer that can vintage. And what we've got, the bottles of the beer that we have, they're wax sealed. So you've got a...
Yeah, there, it's a nice looking bottle, yeah.
Yeah, it's a regular Crown cork, but then they pour molten wax over it. And they have a nice little thing where you can literally rip the wax off to be able to open it without difficulty. But the reason for the wax seal is they want to control the amount of oxidation of the beer over time. Mm. This is a beer that would pour perfectly well in at least 5 years, 10 years, probably 15 to 20 years.
Crikey. And will it change over that period of time if the seal is kept on it?
It will. And what you've got is different things will happen in the beer. Bitterness typically will decline over time. So the bitterness will come down.
Not with me, mate.
The alcohol flavours can change, and also the character of the beer can change because of oxidation. So again, using technical terms, but in very simple terms, lots of people understand that if you've got a particularly red wine, you'll open it ideally a few hours before you're planning on serving it, so that the wine will have a chance to breathe before it's served. Mm. When you have oxygen in contact with a beer or a wine, it changes the flavours in the beer or the wine. And with beer, you can get some flavours that aren't the ideal flavours for the beer. So you can get flavours that are kind of papery, literally like licking newspaper. But you can get various other ones, ribes or blackcurrant leaves, sherry, Madeira, sometimes honey. So different flavours can come through. And while technically they're flavours that would have been described as off flavours, they can be quite pleasant flavours, and they're flavours that develop as a result of the ageing process and the beer changing.
You couldn't actually, you couldn't drink that like a beer, if you know what I mean. You couldn't like wander around with a bottle of it at a barbecue and slug out of it.
This is one of the things that as I was kind of putting together my thoughts on this, there's a hilarious thing in Ireland. You know, you'll come along to somebody with a 25% ABV drink, and if it's a wine or if it's a spirit, you know, they'll drink it and they'll say that's fine. If it's a beer, immediately the answer you get is, oh, that's grand, but I couldn't drink 12 pints of it.
Yeah.
Why do you have to drink 12 pints of it? You know, and it's a cultural thing in Ireland that, first of all, beer is served in a pint, and this is the relevance of the snifter glass, that if you're drinking a beer like this, serve it in a glass that's appropriate to it. All of the Belgian
but
beers
it is
are served
in. I think it was Apres Match had ads on during the week where they were doing like road safety adverts in the 1970s saying, you know, think about if you're getting into the car after that fifth pint.
No, I think that is actually a scam advert because I've seen it. There's a thing. I was at an event where a guy was going up to order a Belgian beer, and he still pointed at the Belgian beer and said, "Give me a pint of that." And it was explained to him, "No, it's a Belgian beer. It's 8% ABV. We refuse to serve it by the pint. If you want it, you can only get a half pint." Mm. So he stopped and he thought about it and he says, "Oh, okay. Give me 2 half pints of that." Yeah. And culturally in Ireland, we just can't seem to get away from this idea of a pint. But no, with this beer, served in a snifter glass, it comes in a 750 milliliter bottle, which should communicate to you that it is a sharing size of beer.
Yes.
It is not, you know, a beer for one person to kind of be drinking by the neck, a few people around, and it is one, you know, into the evening.
It's surprisingly nice. And I must say, if someone said, "I've got some barley wine to drink," I'd go, "You're grand." John in Limerick says, "God, barley wine." And John, I must say, you're bringing me back too. As a student in the 70s in Dublin, there was nothing like a few pints of barley wine in Slattery's and Rathmines. Would set you up for the night. It'd pretty kill you for the night. You must have gone to the College of Commerce in Rathmines.
Again with the pints.
I did, some time after that. But I used to frequent Slattery's and Rathmines many, many years ago myself. My father-in-law only drinks beer. I'm cooking fish and have the wine sorted. Any ideas for a beer? I'm not a beer drinker, so it all tastes the same to me.
Okay, if you're looking at a fish, it depends on the type of fish that you're doing. If it's the type of fish that would normally work well with a kind of a lemon juice squeezed over it, you know, a lighter fish that isn't ridiculously meaty, then something like Witbier, Selly White, something like that would work very well. You'll get citrus flavours in the beer is light and it won't overpower the fish. If the beer, if the fish is a bit more meaty, you might look for something that's a little bit more substantial. So a Blonde Ale, Le Trap Blonde, for example, around 6% ABV, will have nice sweet flavours and will balance out the meatiness. So if it's a monkfish and has a bit more meaty flavours to it, you might want something a little bit more, but probably something that's more golden in colour rather than a dark beer. While it isn't a strict rule, the types of flavours that you get in a dark beer are comparable to the types of flavours that you get with a dark meat.
Mm.
So if you're looking for complementary, that tends to pair better.
Oh, you love this question, Dean. Can someone tell me the difference between Corona and Desperados? They taste exactly the same to me. I think Dean's laugh basically answers your question for you, because they probably are. The hashtag is Mingin Movies. The Flatulent Baker Boys, the Discharge of the White Brigade, of the Light Brigade. That wasn't exactly the way they phrased it. And Draining Miss Daisy. You have to think about that one. What movie would you like to do first, Esther?
Oh, let's do Kong.
You are going to tell me everything I don't know, or I'm going to blow your head off.
Monsters exist. Yesterday I was a crackpot. But today?
You dropped those charges to flush something out. Who are you?
Ancient species owned this earth long before mankind, and if we keep our heads buried in the sand, they will take it back. My agency is known as Monarch. We specialize in the hunt for massive unidentified terrestrial organisms.
You knew that thing was out here?
I'm sorry for your men, Colonel. I truly am.
There you go. Yesterday I was a crackpot. It could be the slogan for this program. Anyway, that's a clip there from Kong Skull Island. Ha ha ha. And Samuel L. Jackson.
That's a much better title.
Thank you. Who else is there? I mean, movie in actor wise.
Everyone's here. That's John Goodman actually playing a slightly straighter role than we're used to seeing him do, as this kind of mad scientist who's been convinced for years that these monsters exist in distant islands and stuff. They've made it nice and retro. They've set it in the early 70s and it's just after America pulled out of the Vietnam War. So it gives it a whole kind of retro feel, and it brings a believability to it as well. The idea now that there'd be an uncharted island in the Pacific if they did it in modern times wouldn't really work, you know. So John Goodman's plan, he goes to the government, the US government, basically, and says, "I know at this time, like, there's a giant gorilla on the island," and they kind of banned this group of different explorers together, ostensibly to check out seismic activity on the island by dropping bombs on it, but really they're kind of trying to see
how to get you some
American
seismic activity.
But really they're there to see what it's, you know, whether there are creatures hidden within the jungles that will respond. And Kong, there's a mixed bag of casting here. Tom Hiddleston, probably his first major lead role as an adventurer, really disappointing. He's a kind of a tracking expert, but it's a really kind of subdued performance from him. It seems like he maybe didn't get the memo about that this is supposed to be a bit of fun, you know.
Yeah.
Brie Larson is very good, but underused a bit as a kind of a war photographer, or an anti-war photographer, as she describes herself, who likes kind of exposing things, and she's been brought along to investigate.
Photographer who likes exposing bits. Sorry.
Boom, boom.
Yes, yeah, okay.
He's here all week. Tried to be.
Yeah.
And she's kind of tasked with documenting whatever comes her way, but she's not in on the act either. People really, as that clip reveals, people really don't know what they're going to this island for until they're arriving on the island. Brilliant, brilliant helicopter sequence as they arrive, where Kong is a bit annoyed at all the noise and the helicopters, so he just starts swatting them out of the sky, and it's
really
good set pieces and action sequences here. What bothered me a little bit about it, I suppose, is I would have been happy for Kong to be more centre stage, but there are lots of other giant creatures. We get to meet spiders and kind of very scary reptile type flying monsters who kind of eat humans for breakfast. And that's where the whole peril comes into. And, you know, there's been a long association with Kong since he first came to the screen in 1933 about whether he was like a tragic kind of anti-hero or a big misunderstood character or just a big bad monster, basically. And that kind of has a bit of fun with that here, because it's when the other creatures start eating the humans as they're trying to get the hell out of Dodge, that Kong kind of may or may not come in to save the day and step up and save the day.
Right. I think in the original Kong, he fought sort of, you know, when he had Fay Wray in his pocket or whatever, he was fighting other monsters. They were in that original one,
yeah,
weren't they?
Yeah.
Was it Fay Wray? I can't remember now.
Yes, it was. Yeah. And there's a tenderness as well. Brie Larson, of course, kind of nods to that whole film by befriending. She's a creature who befriends him, and there's some kind of quite touching scenes between them. But look, you're firmly in Tree Star territory here, I would say, but like it. You're going to a movie called Kong Skull Island. You know what you're going to. You're going to see massive monsters swatting helicopters out of the sky in a jungle and a big creature feature. And a cast, some of whom bring it, some of whom don't. Like Samuel L. Jackson is very good, actually, for once. I know you were talking about him on the show during the week.
Yeah.
And he was very good here as kind of an ex-military type who may or may not have his own agenda going on as well. He's playing it a bit more straight than we've seen him lately. But it's the John C. Reilly show. It's John C. Reilly. I'm going to turn him into a verb. John C. Reilly's the hell out of a supporting performance. And it's like a masterclass in how to, you know, steal a film and a supporting performance, really. And he's just great as this kind of ex-army guy. He's been there since 1944. He doesn't know the war is over. He's been hanging out with all the natives, has become great mates with them, and is very excited to see real humans.
Ah, right,
also
so there are
reluctant.
Natives there, are they?
Yes, they're native humans, yeah. And you know, he's just this great eccentric kind of aviator character, very retro, very of another era. And there's potential for loads of jokes there, which they milk about, you know, what's been going on in Vietnam and stuff like that. And lots of good little punchlines in there. It's a good job, really, because the story it's 2 hours long. Doesn't need to be. Would have been much better film if it was about 20 minutes shorter. And at the pace occasionally drags. You miss Kong when he's not on screen, I would say. You get a lot more creatures for your money, but I did find myself waiting for Kong to return. But those initial, I saw it in Savoy One, which I think is probably one of the biggest screens in Ireland, and those initial scenes where they come into the jungle and they encounter the monster first up against a big red sunset sky looks fantastic. So if you're talking money shots, you get plenty of them here.
What's the age cert on
the
it?
Age cert is 12A. I would say some of the scenes might scare smaller kids. But 12A means if you're over 18 and you're an adult with kids under 12, you can bring them if you like.
Yeah. Someone says King Kong in 1933 and 1976 was 50 foot tall. King Kong in 2005 was 25 foot tall. This one is 100 foot. Proper order. It's a monster mash.
Yeah, he is pretty ginormous.
Pretty big. So yeah. It seems bizarre that you wouldn't have him as big as possible.
Yeah.
Do you know if I can drink a can of Guinness out of a glass rather than in the pint glass? I.e., can I leave some of the beer in the can to drink in a half an hour, for example, or will it make the Guinness flat? Just for the match tonight. As not a big drinker, but like a glass or two of Guinness.
Okay, right.
Kind of a technical question, really. It doesn't really matter if it's Guinness or anything else, I suppose.
It is. Right, so if you're looking to preserve the carbonation in the beer, get the beer as cold as possible.
Mm-hmm.
The more cold the beer is, the slower it will be for the carbonation to leave the beer. Now, it depends on whether it's nitro can or a regular kind of carbonated can of Guinness. So with the creamy can of Guinness where you open the can and a little nitrogen pod explodes in the can and it gives the kind of creamy effect.
Okay.
That might or might not last for the entire time, but the temperature would be the key thing. So the colder the beer is, the longer it will survive in terms of the gas dissolving it.
Okay, this is a decorum question. Is drinking a craft beer from the bottle a complete disgrace?
People should drink beer whatever way they like to, but
it is.
If you're drinking a beer from the bottle, you're going to lose out on a huge amount of flavour. About 80 to 90% of the flavours that we detect, we pick up 5 flavours on our tongue.
Yeah.
And we pick up all of the other flavours through our nose. So when you're tasting a beer, you don't realise it, but the aromas that are going up into your nose are giving you a huge amount of the flavour in the beer. And some of that flavour will go back to the back of your throat and come back backwards up into your nose and allow you to detect it that way. But if you're not smelling the beer as you're tasting it, you lose out on an awful lot of flavour. But it's down to the individual. People should drink beer whatever way they like it. But I would recommend pouring.
Dave in Cork, actually, and this goes back to the point you were making about the barley wine we were drinking. Years ago, I came across Bob Luck Cider from the Kent Sussex border, sold in wine glasses due to its strength.
Yep, people should drink beer in smaller glasses if it is stronger. Yeah. And in America, there's a training program, the Cicerone program. And one of the things that they will include on their exams is, you know, if you're supplying a stronger beer, what is the glass that's appropriate? There is an obsession in Ireland. Alcohol is a good thing. If you drink too much alcohol, it is bad for you. Everybody agrees on it. Medics agree on it. The alcohol industry agrees on it. Everybody agrees on it. But if you drink alcohol in moderation, you have a longer life expectancy than if you don't drink at all. So alcohol is a good thing as long as you don't drink it in large quantities. Alcohol isn't the bad thing. It's drinking too much, but it is the bad thing.
Speaking of drinking it too much, someone's texted in to say, I saw Passengers this week. It didn't get great reviews, but I loved it. Chris Pratt was gripping from the beginning. Yeah, the plot was poor at times, but the acting was great.
I didn't like that film at all. Have you seen it?
I think they're the only person in the universe that liked that film.
Did you not think it
was kind of really rapey? He's going around a spaceship going, now who will I wake up and whose life will I ruin?
Well, that was the point.
I picked the best looking one. Yeah, it was very strange. Yeah. It was a weird film,
but it got me thinking.
Yes, never take a long-term space flight with Chris Pratt, because God knows what he'll do to you. Somebody else says, in Kilkenny in the 1960s, you could get a barley fill-up, 3/4 of a pint of Smithix with barley wine, and it was lethal.
Okay.
There you go, yeah. But then again, we're harking back to the point that Dean was making, where people drank alcohol for only one specific reason.
This heaven where God lives, where's that? Don't say it's in the sky, or I will shout. Go on then.
Church.
God generally stays in the church for most of the week. But he occasionally gets out to go to bingo, go clubbing and so on. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
God is, I'm going to say, a spirit. And do you understand what I mean by that?
Yeah.
What are ghosts, Barbara?
Things that don't exist.
What, like round squares?
There you go. That's a clip from In Loco Parentis. It's a documentary about the only primary boarding school in Ireland.
In Ireland, yeah, in County Meath, called Hetfort. I loved this, I have to say. It's very, very special. And I loved its observational style in particular. You just kind of, because there's no one talking at you, there's no talking heads, you just kind of disappear into the world of these kids. Mm. And it's a real slow burner as well. It takes place over a year in their lives. So you get to meet various children and find out what issues they have. Like, there's one child who's cripplingly shy and not a great mixer. You see her gradually blossom through the course of the film. Mm. There's another great kid called Ted who needs to get serious exam results to get into some posh school, which I can't remember the name of, but is really a bit of a spacer in the most lovely, endearing way. I really warmed to him. You have a band full of very determined but not necessarily naturally musical children who have to try and get things together before the year is out. And I just loved it. They, you know, at the heart and soul of the film, really, I suppose, are you heard John Layden there speaking. John and his wife, Amanda, have been teachers at the school for years. And unconventional is the word.
Goes out to bingo is fairly unconventional. Yes.
Yeah, in their approach. And they do have lovely debates there as well. There is a scene in the film as well where they get the kids debating gay marriage rights and stuff like that and get them really thinking about these things, you know. And they're kind of they're lovely scenes. They talk about the kids and, did you see this one? Did you see that one? I'm worried about her. I thought we'd have turned her into a more fully formed individual by now, because they use words like that. Mm. But they're doing this while they're having a smoke out the window of the school. They have these little discussions and the camera kind of pans them from behind. And, they're really the stars of the film in many ways. But I believe they're very non-attention-seeking people, and they're all about the kids, but they're just their eccentricities, I suppose, add a real value to the film. And the kids themselves are just all wonderful as well. And, you know, not all perfect. They're the older age of primary school age are the ones they focus on, I suppose. So people are going through, you know, a big time in their lives. They're going through adolescence, and, you know, they're a year or two off leaving the school and going on to secondary schools, in often cases boarding, and often in cases abroad. So a lot of these kids actually would be from different parts of the world as well,
right?
Not
okay.
just Irish.
Yeah.
So you just become really invested. And I did. I grew up reading Enid Blyton's Mallory Towers book, had been very invested in these boarding school kids, and it really is a nod to all of that. You know, like a lot of Irish people, I guess I spent the first 10 minutes going, who in the name of God sends a kid to primary age boarding school? But that very soon melts away. And
Dean,
I did not expect that.
Never ceases to be interesting.
But maybe that's why he's good at the skiing and the karate and stuff. Maybe he went and learned it all in finishing school or something.
It's what the lower orders don't do.
So all of that really just melts away, and you kind of just really see the development of these children and watch them blossom and flourish in different ways. And there's a real intimacy to the film as well, and the kids' relationships with each other and with their teachers. And I really, really loved it. It was a big hit, and it kind of came out of nowhere, this documentary, and was a big hit at Sundance earlier this year shown here. It was one of only two Irish docs that got screened in Sundance, which was a bit of an honour, and it's well deserved. They're rolling this film out nationwide from this weekend, but it may not necessarily be a long theatrical release for a documentary. So and find it when you can. It's all over the country from today.
Sounds worth discovering.
Yeah.
Our hashtag is Mingin' Movies, Diarrhea of a Wimpy Kid, Pocahontas, and The Man Who Shot Liberty Valance. Is it true they're bringing out Kong versus Godzilla? The G Machine wants to know.
Oh gosh, I hope so. That would be kind of cool, wouldn't it?
Does anywhere stock James Squire beers from Australia?
They were brought in for a short period of time, but they're very, very hard to get. The brewery convinced to export them from Australia. So they just sent over a few parcels of beer and then didn't continue to send them. They're just not available at all on this side of the world.
I watched Arrival the other night. Good God. I struggled to hold down the mushy-induced vomit. Why do movie makers feel the need to pull at your heartstrings? An hour and a half lost and never to be regained.
Do you want to take that one, Sean? I know you loved it.
This person is dead from the neck down, is all I can say.
A few people did say that to me. A few people just did not buy into what we won't give away, but the whole premise and the twist at all in the film. I was more just confused by it.
It was confusing. It may be one of those things that perhaps if you don't have kids, it mightn't affect you as much.
Mm.
You mightn't feel that pain as much, perhaps.
Even before any of that came, I thought it was a brilliantly tense and engaging movie anyway. Yeah. And those initial interactions she has with the aliens were absolutely great.
And I thought her performance was really good. I thought she kind of implied being seriously damaged in some way without overcooking it.
She was robbed of an Oscar nomination.
Yeah. One of my favourite drinks in the late 60s, early 70s was a pint special in Mooney's. It contained a half pint bottle of Guinness barley wine and a half pint of draft, but not for sessions, says Kevin. I'd say not. Craig in Dublin says fences equals epicness. Would you agree with Craig's review?
It's still on my to-see list. I have to put my hand up and
really?
Say I haven't got to it yet. Yeah, there were so many movies out in February. It became really hard to keep up with everything.
Yeah, because did those many of those films... Well, I suppose they would have come out in the States already if they were looking to get included in the Oscar buzz.
Yeah, you have to be released in the US, I think. At least a limited release by December 25th, if I am correct. Yeah, you have to, at least in two cities.
Low calorie beer choices, please. Sick of Bud Light and Coors Light.
Okay.
So.
Actually,
it's not even low calorie beer. We're stressing the word beer here, which you've never actually drunk before, if that's what you're concentrating on.
Yeah. There are a few things. I'm actually quite controlled in my rant about alcohol and the way that it's approached in beer in Ireland, but on low calorie beer. Two things. First of all, a low-calorie beer is about two-thirds of the calorie of a regular beer.
Yeah, so it's not that much different.
So if you were to, and I've said this before, put your fridge up in your bedroom every time you want a beer, go up the stairs, get the beer, come back down the stairs. You will probably have burned off as many calories as you did by cutting back to the low-calorie beer by just walking up the stairs. In general, and again, this does come back to what we're talking about alcohol and beer, there's a philosophy that a lot of Belgian brewers have and other people have as well, which is drink less, drink better. If you've got about 150 calories per bottle, then if you're having a bottle or two or three bottles, you know, that's 450 calories. It, for a man, that is 20% of their daily calorie intake. If you're doing that once or twice a week, it's a controlled amount of beer. Mm. If you're having 10 or 15 pints of beer, it's probably not going to make a difference whether there is a little bit less calories
it's
in the
true,
beer.
It's true, yeah.
You know, so it's really the quantity that you're drinking rather than the...
It's like having, you know, having a Coke, a Diet Coke with your pizza.
Yeah, I used to work in a shop where this lovely girl used to come in and buy 20 bars of chocolate and a Diet Coke. And I really kind of...
What's wrong with having a Diet Coke with your pizza?
No, but you know what I mean?
That answers itself, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does, really. I don't have kids, but I loved Arrival. You don't have to have kids to feel stuff, says Ken in Kildare. Fair enough, Ken. I wasn't implying that, you know, people without kids wouldn't feel it, but maybe, I don't know. I'm stupid. Shut up. Shut up, Sean. Declan says that the Headford School in Kells was also used when making the Butcher Boy. It was used as a location.
I did not know that.
Does beer contain much sugar? This is a bone of contention between my wife and I.
Okay. In order to brew beer, you have to have sugar in it, and it is the sugar that's converted to alcohol. If you want a very small amount of sugar in the beer for regular beers, go for a Pilsner where the beer is fairly well fermented out. But if you really want a very dry beer, a Saison will often be very, very well attenuated, which means that a lot of the sugar that's in the beer is fermented out to quite an extent, and it leaves the beer incredibly dry. But Saisons are quite a broad style, so it depends on the Saison that you're picking, but it can be incredibly dry and there'd be very little sugar left. But it is probably almost impossible not to have a tiny amount of sugar in beer.
Mm. The hashtag is Mingin Movies, Arse Biscuit. I don't know if that's the name of a movie. I just like the word, though. I'm going to try and crowbar that into something next week. Anyway, let's move on to our second beer, Dean. I've been kind of pausing this one for as late as possible because this is like the 10.2 one.
11.5. No, yeah.
11.5, okay.
We had the 10.2 one, yeah. Now, and just to put things into context, now, where I was sticking my hand up on the National School Boarding School, our children all do go to a day school and they come home every day and we do see them in the evening time.
Yes,
and so on.
Okay. Yes, your lordship.
No, I spent a year in a national school when I was in sixth class, and it was an Irish school. And I don't know whether it's still a boarding school in Ireland, but Scullanogue down in Glanmire, but they treated me very well. They were very nice down there.
Okay.
I was going mental, bouncing off the walls at home because my brothers had gone off to boarding school and my parents had to put up with me at home. So they figured it was better to get me out of the house because they figured it'd be an awful lot easier for somebody.
Okay, and how old were you?
I would have been about 12, but I would.
Okay, well, that's not that young.
Yeah, no.
It's not like going when you were 8 or something.
That would have been a thing. Now, I suppose for myself, I had been living in two countries. I'd kind of stayed with different people at different times and would have been very comfortable with being away from home. I think for kids that are really used to being at home, it could be tough to be in a boarding school, and things. So it was probably a little bit different for me. But just in case everybody thinks that I've abandoned my children, I haven't.
No. Okay. Yeah. All right. Fair enough. Yeah. Children at home, everything's fine. Yes. We think. Make a phone call.
Earthel Samaranth is our next 11.5%. Now, again, well above average strength, but if you take your kind of normal wine, if you had a wine at kind of 9 to 11%, that would be...
That would be a mild wine.
And usually kind of 12, 13, and even 14, 14.5% isn't unusual for a wine. But again, it is a beer to be drunk and respected. It's at a higher strength and not one for people to say, you know, why can't you have 15 pints of this? Looking at the states, there's an interesting thing in the states in terms of alcohol. There are some states in America where they legislatively don't allow you to put the alcohol content on the bottle. At least in Ireland, yeah, legally you are
that's
required.
That's freedom, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. Legally, you're required to have the alcohol content on the bottle so people can tell what the alcohol strength of the beer is. And in the States, then you need your secret decoder ring to try to work out whether a quadruple or an imperial stout or whatever has a high strength to it.
That's nuts.
It is nuts,
yeah. You have no idea what you're between a Heineken and... You know, something that's 11%.
The logic that they're using is if you put the alcohol strength on the bottle, people will start buying the stronger beers because they'll think that they're getting more alcohol for their money. And you have people who are literally going in, buying a bottle of beer, thinking that it's a regular kind of 4%, 5% bottle of beer, and it's got 8%, 10%, 11% in the bottle, and they have no idea. So it's just public policy gone completely mental. At least in Ireland, the tax on beer is related to alcohol. So as the alcohol strength goes up, the price has to go up because the tax is higher.
Yeah.
So it just disincentivizes people to drink at large quantities.
There you go. Your weekend starts here with Movies and Booze every Friday from 3 on Moncrief.